Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service, Text Number 12. Touch. Shraddhana Munayo Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya Pashanti Atmani Shatmanam Bhaktya Shruta Grihitaya. Tat Shraddhana Munayo Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya Pashantyatmani Chatmanam Bhaktya Shruta Grihitaya Tachchadadana Munayo Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya Pashantyatmani Chatmanam Bhaktya Shruta Grihitaya. That Shraddhana, seriously inquisitive. Munaya, sages. Jnana, knowledge. Vairagya, detachment. Yuktaya, well equipped with. Pashanti, see. Atmani, within himself. Cha and Atmanam, the Paramatma, Bhaktya, in devotional service, Shruta, the Vedas, Grihitaya, well received. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. That absolute truth is realized by the seriously inquisitive student or sage who is well equipped with knowledge and who has become detached by rendering devotional service and hearing the Vedanta Shruti. Please repeat. That absolute truth is realized by the seriously inquisitive student or sage who is well equipped with knowledge and who has become detached by rendering devotional service and hearing the Vedanta Shruti. Purport. The absolute truth is realized in full by the process of devotional service to the Lord Vasudev, or the personality of Godhead, who is the full-fledged absolute truth. Brahman is his transcendental bodily effulgence, and Paramatma is his partial representation. As such, Brahman or Paramatma realization of the Absolute Truth is but a partial realization. There are four different types of living beings: the Karmis, the Jnanis, the Yogis, and the Devotees. The Karmis are materialistic, whereas the other three are transcendental. The first class transcendentalists are the devotees who have realized the Supreme Person. The second class transcendentalists are those who have partially realized the plenary portion of the Absolute Person. And the third class transcendentalists are those who have barely realized the spiritual focus of the Absolute Person. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literatures, the Supreme Person is realized by devotional service, which is backed by full knowledge and detachment from the material association. We have already discussed the point that devotional service is followed by knowledge and detachment from material association. As Brahman and Paramatma realization are imperfect realizations of the Absolute Truth, so the means of realizing Brahman and Paramatma, that is, the paths of Jnana and Yoga, are also imperfect means of realizing the Absolute Truth. Devotional service, which is based on the foreground of full knowledge combined with detachment from material association, fixed up on the oral reception of Vedanta Shruti, is the only perfect method of realizing the Absolute Truth by the seriously inquisitive student. Devotional service is not, therefore, meant for the less intelligent class of transcendentalists. There are three classes of devotees, namely first, second, and third class. The third class devotees are the neophytes who have no knowledge nor are detached from the material association, but who are simply attracted by the preliminary processes of worshiping the deity in the temple, are called material devotees. Material devotees are more attached to material benefit than transcendental profit. Therefore, one has to make definite progress from the position of material devotional service to the second class devotional position. In the second class position, the devotee can see four principles in the devotional line, namely the personality of Godhead, his devotees, the ignorant, and the envious. One has to raise himself at least to the stage of a second class devotee and thus become eligible to know the absolute truth. A third class devotee, therefore, has to receive instructions of devotional service from the authoritative sources of Bhagavatam. The number one Bhagavatam is the established personality of devotee, and the other Bhagavatam is the message of Godhead. The third class devotee, therefore, has to go to the personality of devotee in order to learn the instructions of devotional service. Such a personality of devotee is not a professional man who earns his livelihood by the business of Bhagavatam. Such a devotee must be a representative of Shukadeva Goswami, like Suta Goswami, and must preach the cult of devotional service for the all-around benefit of all people. A neophyte devotee has very little taste for hearing from the authorities. Such a neophyte devotee makes a show of hearing from the professional man to satisfy his senses. This sort of hearing and chanting has spoiled the whole thing, so one should be very careful about the faulty process. The holy messages of Godhead, as inculcated in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Srimad Bhagavatam, are undoubtedly transcendental subjects. But even though they are so, such transcendental matters are not to be received from the professional man who spoils them like the serpent spoils the milk simply by the touch of his tongue. A sincere devotee, therefore, must therefore be prepared to hear the Vedic literature like the Upanishad, Vedanta and other literatures left by the previous authorities or Goswamis for the benefit of his progress. Without hearing such literatures, one cannot make actual progress. And without hearing and following the instructions, the show of devotional service becomes worthless and therefore a sort of disturbance in the path of devotional service. Therefore, unless devotional service is established on the principles of Shruti, Smriti, Purana, and or Pancharatrika authorities, the make show of devotional service should at once be rejected. An unauthorized devotee should never be recognized as a pure devotee. By assimilation of such messages from the Vedic literatures, one can see the all-pervading localized aspect of the personality of Godhead within his own self constantly. This is called samadhi. Tatshradana munayo gyanavairagya yuktaya Pashantyatmani Chatmanam Bhaktya Shruta Grihitaya. The absolute truth is realized by the seriously inquisitive student or sage who is equipped with knowledge and who has become detached by rendering devotional service and hearing the Vedanta Shruti. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pradistaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Paskyatya De Siddhartha. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath, Holy Vishaka, Lord Jagannath, Lord Bhavadev, Srimati Subhadra Devi, Shri Shri Gornitai Kijai. This is a summary of the science of Krishna consciousness. The purpose of Krishna consciousness, as explained here, is to realize the absolute truth. And the science is explained, Tat Stradadana Munaya. The first qualification for one searching after the absolute truth is this shraddha, or faith. And here it says, seriously inquisitive student or sage. So one has to become seriously inquisitive. In the material world, everyone has some kind of faith. Because without faith, we can't do anything. And that faith is according to the nature that we've acquired by our previous activities. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said that everyone has, according to the modes of nature, one has acquired, one has evolved a certain type of faith, and according to that faith, one performs certain types of activities. Similarly, according to one's activities one is performing under the modes of material nature, one will evolve a certain type of faith. Therefore, the aim of Krishna consciousness is to come back to our original faith, our original consciousness, our pure consciousness, because the faith we've acquired by coming in contact with the modes of material nature is an artificial faith, and therefore, by following such an artificial faith, one cannot actually revive his normal state of awareness or being. So how to come to this state of faith, shraddha, this eagerness to come to Krishna consciousness is explained here, begins with shruti, by hearing. But not hearing from who? Hearing from those who have actually realized the absolute truth, or from the absolute truth himself in the form of the Vedic literature. By such hearing, then the result should be, if one actually hears, then one acquires transcendental experience which detaches him from mundane experience. Because the goal of realizing the absolute truth is that everyone, or those who are searching for the absolute truth, or those who are searching for any truth, whatever their truth is that they want to become happy. People have faith in something because they think this will actually create some kind of happiness, some kind of enjoyment. This will detach me from my material miseries and create within me a certain type of happiness. Therefore, everyone is busily hearing the glories of some object, something to buy, some personality, who it is claimed will free one from material miseries and elevate one to the platform of happiness. If one reads the newspapers or listens to television or even goes to school and reads the textbooks, everyone is proclaiming their Messiah. Whether their Messiah, as we said before, is an electric toothbrush, that by brushing your teeth and they become very shiny, that all your fears and anxieties about your inadequacies will be diminished. And when people see you, they'll become overwhelmed and surrender to you, and therefore all your desires will be fulfilled. Or it's by this idea that by making money, one will be able to free himself from all anxieties and buy all the wonderful new products they have. He'll be able to get a new car, a new house, a new wife, many girlfriends, so many different things. Everything will come by acquiring money. So this faith comes from hearing, and the science of this faith, or whatever faith we have, generally everyone has a philosophy or a science that proves that this type of faith is true. For instance, materialists, they have their philosophers known as the material scientists. The material scientists, they're the philosophers who are proclaiming that the absolute truth is materialism, that there's nothing beyond matter. And the transcendentalists, they also have their philosophers, as explained here, whether it be the jnani or the yogi. But the devotee, they have their philosopher, Krishna, and Krishna's devotees. Krishna in the form of the Vedanta Shruti, or in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita, which proclaim that actually we are not this body. But the difference is that this science is so nice that simply by hearing it, although we may not completely realize it at once, according to our ability to hear, to that extent, it becomes realized. It becomes understood. For instance, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has declared that we are not this body. And then later on he declares that everything can be realized if one realizes him. Therefore, and also he's declared that according to our anxiety, our anxiousness to realize Krishna, to that proportion we realize him. That the only thing necessary to realize Krishna is simply the desire to do so. Therefore, the science of Krishna consciousness is how to increase that anxiety to hear about Krishna, how to increase that anxiety to follow Krishna's instructions, and in this way, realize Krishna. For instance, one thief, he had heard the glories of Krishna. He was hearing that in Vrindavan there is one boy, he is very wealthy, he's covered with jewels. And if you go there, you can become very wealthy. He was reading this, and of course he was reading the Krishna book, and it was described that in Vrindavan there is one boy, Krishna, and he's very, very wealthy. He's covered with all kinds of jewels and diamonds, emeralds, and gold. So he thought, let me go to Vrindavan and look for this boy, and if I find him, I can steal all his jewels and become wealthy, become a millionaire at once. So the thief, he went to the Vrindavan, and he's so anxious to find this boy, he was looking everywhere, that Krishna appeared before him. So the thief said, I want your jewels. You're a very beautiful boy. You're very attractive. So he was flattering Krishna and saying, please give me your jewels. So Krishna said, no, no, I cannot give you my jewels because my mother will become very angry. He said, no, no, you give me your jewels. She won't care. So they had a big argument. And finally the thief, he became very attracted to Krishna because he was so beautiful. And then he said, all right. Krishna said, all right, here, take my jewels. But the thief said, no, no, I don't want the jewels, I want you. Swarme Kutarto Navarache. That Dhruva Maharaj, he had one idea, and he had heard from Narada Muni faithfully how to get what he wanted. But to get what he wanted, he had to get Krishna first, and therefore, with great determination, he sought out Krishna. And gradually, by his austerities, he realized Krishna. And when Krishna offered him even something material, he rejected it because he had gotten what he was actually looking for, which was Krishna himself. Therefore, if one wants to realize Krishna, one first of all has to realize what is his position. Jnane priyasam udapastanamant eva. That Krishna consciousness is meant for those who are actually serious. That if one comes to Krishna consciousness with some ulterior motive, namely here it says, jnane priyasam, if one is thinking that there's some other process or some other method which is better than pure devotional service, if there is some other goal better than realizing Krishna, or if we take Krishna as the means, this is called third-class devotional service. Neophyte. Neophyte means, yes, I will take up this method of Krishna consciousness and see what it gets me. But actually, my real goal is something like acquiring some material security, freeing myself from distress, solving my problems, getting ahead in life. These are called anarthas. That in the material world, we have faith in this body. This is called the mode of ignorance. And passion. We have faith in this body, and that by this body being put into a comfortable position, then I'll become happy. That if I can learn how to make the body as comfortable as possible, then I'll become as happy as possible. So this we've acquired by long hearing and practicing hearing the glories of sense gratification and practicing that philosophy since time immemorial. Therefore, even when one comes to devotional service, one may still be addicted to this indirect processes, here is explained as jnana and karma. One still has this faith that if my body is nice, that if my knowledge of how to live in the material world is proper, then everything will, I'll actually be progressive. Therefore, this artificial faith, it has to be given up. At least one has to have the willingness. For instance, Prabhupada says many people come to the Krishna consciousness movement with some hidden motive. And when they become a little economically well off, then they abandon Krishna consciousness. Because they approach Krishna and they say, all right, we'll take a gamble. Maybe this is God. So I'll put $1.25 into the box, and I'll pray. As there's one refrain, as it go, give me a house, give me a wife, give me some money, give me a wife, give me a house by the sea, Jaya Jagadish Hari. So by this prayer, and by my offering, by my sacrifice, I hope that all these things will turn out. But if it doesn't turn out immediately, then I may leave. And when I get my wife and I get my house and I get my money and the house by the sea and everything goes all right, then what do I need God for? For instance, nowadays people have abandoned going to the church where I grew up. They used in Brooklyn, believe it or not, there used to be a church on every corner, practically. Of the big intersections, there used to be a church. But they took all the churches down, and now they have a bank. So people daily go to the bank, and they pray. Instead of praying, God, please give me my daily bread, people go and pray, please give me a loan. Because people have faith that if I simply get money, then all my problems will be solved. So this type of faith, this type of desire, this type of anxiety, this will not lead to the desired goal. Therefore, one has to give it up and realize, namanta eva, that we are imperfect. As we've heard many times, the imperfections of the conditioned soul are that we have imperfect senses, we commit mistakes, we have a tendency to be illusion, such as identifying ourselves with this body, and we cheat. And not only we can claim others have these imperfections, but we also have these imperfections. And therefore we have a tendency not only to cheat others, but we have a tendency to cheat ourselves. We may think ourselves to be very advanced, to be very intelligent, very capable, but one has to become namanta eva, submissive. So this is very difficult for the conditioned soul to swallow, that he's imperfect. And that his only hope is to jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiya varta, to hear the message of the Bhagavatam from self-realized personalities, persons who are actually glorifying, enthusiastic about the Bhagavatam. Because after all, what are we looking for? I remember one time in Buffalo, Prabhupada was giving a class, and he said, he's asking, do you want to become happy? So everyone in the class, the devotees there, they were looking at Prabhupada trying to figure out what he was talking about. So no one said anything. So Prabhupada said again, do you want to become happy? And the devotees were looking. I remember I was kind of, what a profound question. No one has ever asked me that before. I thought maybe it was a trick question or something. Besides, then Prabhupada asked again very compassionately, don't you want to be happy? And then one very intelligent devotee said, yes, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, oh, very nice. So everyone is looking for happiness. So if one is actually enthusiastic, then people become attracted. Because what are they looking for? Just like one time I was distributing books in Hollywood Boulevard, the beginning of the 1970s. And there were long lines. People there, they wait for the movies to come. The big, big movie lines. Hundreds and hundreds of people waiting for the movie. And there was one man going down the movie lines. He had a bucket. And he was fast as possible. He's moving his hands like this and saying all kinds of crazy, nonsensical things as quickly as possible. He was actually, as we heard the class about, and being empowered, he was definitely empowered. And I was going down the line, you know, we didn't have so many techniques at that time, we were just learning and presenting the book. But this person, I was amazed, because people, as soon as he'd come, waving his hands and his arms and his legs and saying all kinds of crazy things as quickly as possible, people were reaching into their pocket and throwing their money into his bucket. there wasn't one bit of intelligence or sanity behind what he was doing, but people were so much attracted by his enthusiasm that immediately they were giving him donations spontaneously. So everyone is looking for enthusiasm, everyone is looking for that knowledge by which we can get the greatest amount of enthusiasm. Therefore, if the devotees are enthusiastically declaring the glories of Krishna, and that transcendental enthusiasm cannot be duplicated by any kind of artificial, for instance, this person may have been waving his hands and jumping up and down, he may have attracted certain personalities to give donations, but that is not the same transcendental type of enthusiasm that's generated by a devotee who's actually absorbed in love for Krishna. That cannot be duplicated. The dancing and chanting of the devotees cannot be duplicated by any kind of artificial ball dance. So, by this enthusiastic endeavor, then by hearing the devotees enthusiastically declaring the science of Krishna consciousness, then one can actually make advancement in transcendental life. That is, by actually hearing the science, we get some realization, some direction in life, how to live in such a way as to increase our happiness and become detached from our misery. All based upon the fact that we're not this body and trying to go towards Krishna. So, sthanesthita shrutigatam tanuvangmanovir. It is not necessary, because Krishna consciousness is not the process of changing from one religion to the next, or from one ashram to the next, or from one status to the next, one service to the next. It has nothing to do with that. It is a transcendental science between the eternal soul, ourselves, and Krishna, which can be realized in any position within this material world. Shutigatam tanavangmanobir. But simply, one has to become willing to give up his misconceptions, to be willing to hear submissively, to be willing to accept another personality as having more knowledge than we have, or at least accepting that there is a possibility that there is a science, and by hearing that science from the personality of Godhead, we can actually become enlightened. The scientists, they have faith. The materialists, they have faith that by some sensual endeavor and by speculative method, we can make advancement into realizing reality. Although we've mentioned that there are four defects that everyone has, still they have a priori faith that there is nothing beyond the senses and there's nothing beyond the mind, and that by a manipulation of the mind and the senses, either by extending them through telescopes or microscopes or whatever, that we'll realize reality. Because reality is nothing but a combination of the material elements. But the devotee, he has another faith that these transcendental sound vibrations coming from the devotees, coming from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, they're full of transcendental potency. And that if I simply hear that message, if I simply learn the art of receiving that message, then everything will be fulfilled. All my aims in life, all my desires, all my search for happiness and awareness, perpetual happiness and awareness will be satisfied. And that faith is not blind faith, but is based upon practical experience. Just like, for instance, if one wants to go to India, then one purchases a ticket from a reliable airline company. Not that we go to the airlines and we go to the desk and say, are you sure that the airplane won't crash? If I buy a ticket, are you sure it'll get there? Are you sure it is actually going to go to India? Are you sure that it won't go in the wrong direction? Are you sure it's going to leak? So if one is very, very doubtful, if one is constantly questioning the airline, then there's no question of going anywhere. One has to have some faith. So because the airline companies authorize, because many, many, many persons in the past have taken the airline company, the airplane, so I have faith, and therefore I purchase a ticket, and I get on the airplane, and lo and behold, the airplane takes off, and the next morning I arrive in India. So without faith, we can't do anything. But faith in who? Faith in authority. Because many, many persons have taken the airplane, because I have experience myself, perhaps, of taking the airplane. Therefore, I have faith. If I purchase a ticket and I get on the airplane, it'll take me to my destination. Similarly, we may not be conscious of Krishna fully. So without faith, we can't do anything. But faith in who? Faith in authority. Because many, many persons have taken the airplane, because I have experience myself, perhaps, of taking the airplane. Therefore, I have faith. If I purchase a ticket and I get on the airplane, it'll take me to my destination. Similarly, we may not be conscious of Krishna fully, but because somehow or another we've come in contact with Krishna consciousness, because somehow or another we've acquired a taste, some experience in Krishna consciousness which goes beyond mundane experience. Vishayan vinivartate nirharasi dehinam rasa varjam rasopyasya param drishva nivartate. Because we've acquired some other type of experience, therefore we have some faith in Krishna. And how do we acquire that experience, or how do we increase that faith, that eagerness? It is by hearing. By hearing the transcendental sound vibrations and by following the instructions. By hearing and learning, trying to understand, by trying to assimilate the knowledge Prabhupada says here, then when we understand clearly what is to be done in Krishna consciousness, and if we do that, then the result is that Krishna reciprocates and reveals himself. And as Krishna reciprocates and reveals himself, as we enter onto the transcendental platform, then more and more the higher taste of associating with Krishna is experienced, and more one becomes detached from those things which draw one's mind away from Krishna. So Krishna consciousness begins with some faith which is born of transcendental experience. And if we seriously inquire, if we seriously try to understand, seriously try to hear, what is this philosophy? Not that we should think, I already know the philosophy, I've been in the movement for so many years, it's embarrassing not to think that I've already understood everything. But actually we will know that we've understood everything when we see Krishna face to face. Then we begin our real understanding of what is Krishna consciousness. But if we are not seeing Krishna face to face, if we are still identifying ourselves with this body, if we are still doubtful, if we are still attracted to sense gratification, that means that we have not really understood what is Krishna consciousness. It means that we are still attracted, we still have faith in this material world, in speculation to arrive at the stage of material happiness. Therefore, one has to become humble, submissive, and try to learn the art of hearing. And not only hearing, just like sometimes we think hearing means I'm just the sound vibration is going to go through my mind and into me, and everything's going to happen. No, hearing also means to become thoughtful, to try to understand the subject matter very thoughtful, try to see, first of all, question whether we even understand what we're hearing. Well, whether we even understand the language. For instance, they use the word faith, and Prabhupada, in his books, he explains how the materialists use faith. Faith is something that is changeable, like religion. And Prabhupada said real faith, though, he uses faith in a different way. That real faith is faith in something sublime. Shraddha Vishwasakahe Suri Dhanis Chai Krishna Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sarvakama Kritahai. That real faith means as we become Krishna conscious. Faith means that if I surrender to this process, then I'll actually realize Krishna. If I utilize my energies, whatever energies they are, and I utilize them into service to Krishna, then all the other desires I have will be satisfied. Real faith means to have faith that everything Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita is true. Not that I like this portion of the Bhagavad Gita, it appeals to me, but this other portion that tells me I have to give up this and that, that doesn't appeal to me very much. But real faith means to totally accept that what it says in the Bhagavad Gita is true, and then to try to understand it. Try to understand every word of the Bhagavad Gita, every concept of the Bhagavad Gita, so that one can actually come to realize Krishna. To see that I'm in a very dangerous position, that I actually don't have pure faith in Krishna consciousness, and here it mentions neophyte devotee, that if we're not fully faithful, then I should be very anxious how to come to this second-class platform where I'll actually love Krishna, where I'll actually be friends to the devotees, when I'll actually be compassionate to the innocent, and I'll actually be averse, avoiding those who are taking me away from Krishna, trying to take my consciousness away from Krishna. To actually come to this platform, because on this platform, steady progress is automatic in devotional service, practically automatic, until one comes to the perfected platform when he reaches Krishna. So one should become very anxious to become Krishna conscious and very fearful about not becoming Krishna conscious, because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is constantly proclaiming the glories of becoming Krishna conscious and the horrors of not becoming Krishna conscious. So I should take it very seriously that within this lifetime, I should understand what Krishna is saying and apply it within my life and understand what I'm not supposed to do and reject that from my life and see progressively more and more how my consciousness of Krishna is increasing, how my consciousness of the realities and the horrors of material life are increasing, so that one day I can come and realize, I can come to the platform of pure Krishna consciousness. So I think in this particular verse, what is emphasized the most is this serious, that we have to see just how serious am I? Not that I've come to a certain platform of Krishna consciousness and this is what I always wanted to come to. Now I have my name amongst the devotees. I have enough money. I have my old age pension. I have everything I wanted. I get my prasadam regularly. Everything's all right. I mean, what more can you ask for? That one should not be complacent. One should constantly be investigating, what is my fault? Why haven't I not realized Krishna? What is drawing me away from Krishna? What false philosophies I've accepted? What are my doubts? What are my anxieties, misgivings about Krishna consciousness? And constantly try to understand the subject matter very thoughtfully so I can progressively, more and more with determination, develop my desire, my anxiety to become Krishna conscious by associating more and more with Krishna through the process of hearing from the devotees and serving their transcendental instruction. So, I think we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes.
You gave the example of some material world. There are people that get afraid by hearing experience from other people, get the results flying to somewhere. They hear that people fly to India and come back. So they hear from many people, they see pictures, they hear stories. And in Krishna consciousness, you said that you cannot get a complete faith till you see Krishna face to face. Now, yes, you said that you have some experience. But in the same way that you get experience in material from people, you also want to get an experience for people from devotees in Krishna consciousness. But it seems like people don't like, or don't tend to talk too much about realizations of Krishna. I mean, all devotees, so, or, you know, if you want to ask, you don't feel it's like, maybe it's in ignorance to ask people if you have some realizations. So, how can you do the same realizations according to experience? So when you ask the material world is that, everyone tell you everything. And here it seems like you get some piece of the process, but the higher thing you cannot get, you know, the experience of other people. You can get from what we read about the chariots, but not people that are
Well, first of all, Shrinvatam Svatata Krishna Punya Shravanam Kirtana. So if we come to the class regularly every day, maybe perhaps even morning and evening, then we'll hear the realizations from the devotees, because that's what the class is all about. Realizations from the devotees and realizations from the previous acharyas. And if we're intelligent enough, then we can see how the devotees are engaged in devotional service, and that is their realization. It says that actions speak louder than words. So if you develop the vision, the appreciation for the devotees, how they're engaged in devotional service, then we'll be able to see how they realize Krishna. For instance, if one goes on book distribution and sees how the devotees are actually distributing books, even if one hasn't even heard from the devotee what he's doing, simply by appreciating that devotee distributing books, one will automatically become empowered. So as far as the devotees in general, you know, constantly proclaiming Krishna's glories, if they're actually engaged in service, that is proclaiming Krishna's glory. It is not that they have to reveal their minds constantly at every moment for me to understand what they're doing. I have to learn how to be able to understand through the process of hearing. In other words, if I see through the scriptures how the devotees are engaged in service and appreciate that, that is hearing their, that is seeing their realizations.
Is there the feeling that they are also trying to be exposed to this realization?
Well, that's a realization on their part too. But as far as if you have the feeling, that's nice to have feelings. But better to see through the eyes of Scripture, and then you'll get the right feeling. In other words, not that I have a feeling and I see through my feeling, because that will generally misdirect us. But instead, I should see through Scripture and then develop the proper feelings according to what the Scripture says, and then I'll be able to see properly. Then I'll be able to feel properly. Yes.
In Australia, somebody asked the Prabhupada, do you see Krishna? And the Prabhupada said, why do you ask the question like that? If I give any answer, how can you tell yes or no? So we have to approach the realization of the devotee. Because the Prabhupada said, yes, I see Krishna. So how can a person who is a neophyte verify that kind of realization?
Well,
your point is that you see how the devotee and this is the actual quantifiable, measurable appreciation of the devotee's realization. Because otherwise, if you ask me if I see Krishna, I can tell you. What does it mean?
Just like for the materialist, excuse me for saying. The materialist, he sees that by his activities there's a certain amount of happiness generated. But the devotees, they automatically defeat all the materialists. As Prabhupada said, they ask me, where is my mystic power? They're always asking me. But I say, my mystic power is that I've taken all these former drug addicts and hippies and I've made them into pure Vaishnavas, dancing devotees, dancing like jubilant peacocks. So this is my mystic power. That without any sense gratification, without mundane philosophy, they become happy, jubilant, pure devotees. So where is the potency coming from? It must be coming from God.
Yes, Mark.
Someone asked you about how can we measure our spiritual advancement? What is the method or instrument to measure spiritual advancement? And Srila Prabhupada took a pair of car tails and said, here's the instrument. kirtan. This is kirtan. And the Vedic scriptures, they define the Supreme God as rasa. There's a famous quotation from the Upanishad, rasa, rasa, he is rasa. And as you indicated in your lecture also, Param Krishna is a higher taste. This is the actual proof. So simply the fact that you can associate with devotees whose senses are endowed with this higher taste, and therefore they very easily can refrain from sinful attractions and sense gratification, that is already tangible that this process is actually working. And as one develops more and more tastes for the kirtan, then the realization of this is the real realization of Krishna becoming more and more manifest. There was a story that someone approached Srila Gopeshwara's Babaji asking, please give me, in this process called Siddha Pranali, which oversees a mantra. And this mantra expresses one's relationship with Krishna. It's a Gopi mantra or Peacock mantra or something like that. So someone approached Gopeshwara's Babaji and asked him for initiation into Siddha Pranali with mantra, so that you could meditate upon his relationship with Krishna and give realization of that relationship. And Lord Krishna's Babaji replied, your relationship with Krishna will be revealed through the syllables of the Hare Krishna mantra. So the process is very simple, very straightforward. One just has to take to it. And as the bliss of kirtan increases and increases as we are more and more enlightened to chant and dance and ecstasy, that is our realization of Krishna. And it's factual, it's not imagination, because by this process, then one is automatically loses taste for the sinful sense gratification, the so-called predominant in this age. And that's what sets this woman apart from everything else.
In the material world, we experience happiness through the material body. Now, spiritual happiness is the experience also that essentially you feel ecstatic, or is it something beyond, like, the sensual content?
Bhakti Parashanu Vyaktya Anyatra Trika Eka Kala Praparamanasya Yatashnata Sus Tushti Pushti Tushti Shudapaya Nugasa. Just like when you eat a meal, with every morsel, you simultaneously feel satisfaction, alleviation of hunger, and growing strength. So if one properly performs the process of devotional service, then one will feel, you, the soul, will feel enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness, growing love for Krishna, distaste, detachment from those things which formerly drew your mind away from Krishna, and growing understanding of how everyone and everything is related to Krishna. So this comes automatically just by performing devotional service. Just like no one has to give you a certificate after eating a meal that you ate a meal. You've graduated from the first course in the meal to the third course, fourth class, course of the meal. No, automatically one understands these things. So the soul, because this is Anandam Buddhi Savatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtana, because it is the actual bathing of the soul in transcendental experience. Therefore, we ourselves have a direct experience of it. Pratyakshavagamam dharmyam susukam kartum aviyam. It's directly experienced. And that experience is completely transcendental beyond any kind of mundane experience. Prabhupada once wrote to me, he said, just like if you light a match in a dark room, then the darkness can't put the match out. So if you light a match in a dark room, you don't have to get a flashlight to look for the light. It's self-evident. Anything else? Yes.
You said about searching for the Dhamma, however, effects. Why are we not approached? Because we're doing some reform. And I feel personally, I don't know what other desires, but because of that thing, during the day, all the time, maybe I did this not good, you know, I did some wrong, and about the day, I don't know, I finished my service 20 minutes before. I don't know, maybe today small things that make you feel that because of that maybe you're stuck in your position. But like one day because you feel that, oh, today I do a nice service, or now in the evening program I feel very happy, and you say, okay, so of course you connect the two, the both things, that I have nice service, nice. But then on the other hand that starts on the other day that you have some problems, so as when you connect them, and then I mean, what I'm asking is, how should I feel towards this? Is it right to have this connection?
I don't quite understand the question.
It comes to every small thing, even that I read in the Nectar of Devotion, that if you see flowers that have been offered to the deities and you see them, you have to pick them. And then if I go and then I come back, I have to pick them. I don't
We should, our purpose is to come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. So before we do anything, we should think that I have no goal in life, save and except to act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. And that, well, before we do something, we should think that Krishna has given me the service to do. And we'll understand whether Krishna has actually given us the service to do if it's given to us by his authorities, by the spiritual master and the authorities in disciplic succession. So if I meditate like that my motive is to please Krishna, and this is what I'm supposed to do right now by careful consideration, then the result will be that we'll naturally think of Krishna. And if we think of Krishna, whatever we're doing in that mood is perfect. And anything we do that is not carefully considering that I'm doing this just to satisfy Krishna and we're not quite sure what we're doing, then we won't think of Krishna, or we'll think of him less intensively and consistently, and that's not as perfect. All right, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.